Let me begin with a question here. Have you ever felt out of place? In and of ourselves, I think that we're all out of place. None of us are worthy. None of us are deserving of a Savior. He came for all people. He came for you. He came for me. And today, we cannot not identify with the shepherds. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this great morning. And we look forward to how you want to challenge our hearts this morning. How you want to challenge our thinking this morning. And God, we want our focus and attention to be solely on you, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Luke 2, 8 through 20 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's that time of year, and a couple of weeks ago, Lori and I were out shopping. Anybody done that yet? If you haven't, you know, you might be pushing a little bit of time here, but I don't mind doing a little shopping, but ladies, can you be honest about the amount of time that it's going to take when you drag your significant other out of their natural habitat to a foreign land, especially during football season? And seriously, how much shopping is enough? Two stores? Three stores? And what if you go back to one of the stores? I'm going to tell you right now, that counts. That counts as a store. We had just finished Hobby Lobby, and I was thinking we had crossed the finish line, and we were heading home to ice our knees. But no, there was one more store in the FM area that we hadn't crossed the threshold of yet that day. Walking distance, she said. It'll be quick, she said. Stop being such a baby, she said. Well, she didn't say that, but I know she was thinking that. Into Kirkland's we went. Christmas Wonderland. After a few minutes, I said to Lori, hang on just a second, honey. I've got a project for us to do here. Would you just look around? Just gaze around the store here for just a second. Tell me what you see and what you don't see. Well, I see a lot of people, but I don't see any men. I said, that's right. You don't see any other men besides me in the store. I'm not a slouch home watching football like all the other guys, honey. I'm right here by your side. And I like to take advantage of those moments and just say, you are so blessed to be married to me. But that day in Kirkland's, I felt so completely out of place. I have to believe the shepherds experienced a similar feeling. If you're following along, number one on the outline is the unexpected encounter. And just looking at verses 8 through 10, this is what Scripture says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Have you ever wondered why, out of all of the people living at that time, why God chose to encounter the shepherds? Why were the shepherds even invited? Why not the carpenters and the craftsmen, or the fishermen and the tax collectors, or surely at the top of the list would be the priests and the scribes? Why the shepherds? Who are the shepherds anyway? Shepherds were practical men who were not easily fooled. And to use modern-day language, what we would say of the shepherds is that they were street smart. If they were to go and tell people they had been visited by angels and that they were going to visit the Messiah in Bethlehem, people would have looked at them like they were crazy. The work of shepherds was long and hard. Shepherds found no respect and received no welcome in the religious culture of that day. Shepherds had no opportunity to engage the ritual washings demanded by religious leaders. They had little opportunity to bathe at all. Most of the time, shepherds were physically dirty. and therefore ceremonially unclean from the perspective of this religious community. In the time of Jesus, shepherds were not welcome in the temple. Leaders of the religious establishment placed shepherds in the same category to which they would have relegated prostitutes and beggars and lepers and shepherds. So you kind of begin to get the idea. A good shepherd lived to assure the well-being of his sheep. And the shepherd would know his sheep by name. You can find out in other places in Scripture that they would call the sheep into the pen at night and literally lay across the opening so the sheep couldn't get out and no danger could get in. He regularly submitted his life to risk in order to save a member of his flock in trouble. No one had to force such sacrifice. It was a voluntary act born of a commitment to serve his flock with compassionate responsibility. Do you want to know why the shepherds were invited? Not because the manger scene would somehow be complete if they were there or would be incomplete if they weren't there, because Jesus could and would be able to identify with the image and the work of a shepherd. And once again, God used the unacceptable imagery of a shepherd to declare his own son as one himself. Jesus himself made a statement of self-identification, and when he said, "I am the good shepherd." What a picture. A shepherd with a sheep under each arm, a few more tucked in his garments. What a picture. Sheep squirming all over the place, kicking and trying to get away from the shepherd's arms. Sheep with mud and thorns caked into their wool, rubbing against the shepherd's body. Sheep radiating an odor that would make any normal person just gag, to say nothing of picking them up and holding them. The image of God as a shepherd. The picture of Jesus as a good shepherd. A shepherd like Jesus, roaming the earth, doing the dirty work of protection and rescuing people. Jesus spends a lot of time in the mud holes, infested thickets of life. He protects and rescues us from danger. And Jesus said again, "I am the good shepherd." Why would God choose such an identity for his son, the Savior of the world? Because Scripture tells us, because we are all like sheep who have gone astray, in desperate need of a shepherd. Because a shepherd never stops shepherding. Shepherds watching their flock by night, and all of a sudden, bam, they're in the presence of angels, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. God came to them just as they were. No cleaning up first. No getting your life in order first. God met them right smack in the middle of their everyday lives. God encountered the shepherds. They were terrified, the Scripture tells us. And yet the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And as we just learned, a little too late for that. God wanted to convey to the shepherds through the angel, "I bring good news of great joy for all people." And to a shepherd, this message was great hope. When you really think about who a shepherd was, first, they must have been thinking God came to us, a shepherd, the bottom of the barrel in our society. The message of hope was a message of good news and great joy. Again, for who? Who was it for? Those who deserve it? Those who have earned it? Those who are worthy of it? For all people. And only a shepherd could understand this kind of message. If it was a message of hope for the shepherds, it was a message of hope for all people. God didn't approach the top of the barrel and attempt to convince the bottom of the barrel. He started with the bottom and used them, the everyday average person who is unworthy of God's grace and favor, to spread the message, as we'll see in just a few moments. Let me ask you kind of a strange question. And maybe for some of you it'll be strange, and for others it won't be. But Are you encountering the presence of God in your life? God may not use angels today to encounter his people. He does, however, still encounter us. He meets us right where we are in life. Regardless of what we have done, where we have been, what we've been involved with, how dirty we are, or how clean we might think we are, it makes no difference to God. After all, he is our shepherd. Secondly, the undeserved invite, 11 through 14, it says this: today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So the announcement, invitation for the shepherds was that a Savior has been born, and then it says it in verse 11, to you. This day had been talked about for years. People were anticipating the coming of Christ. The person they were expecting, however, was a little different in their minds than what God had in mind. Some were looking for a political leader. Others were looking for a Savior to deliver them from sickness and physical hardship. But I guarantee you that not too many of them were expecting a Savior who would deliver mankind from their sin. It's not what they were looking for. But the announcement was personalized. The angel announced the birth of a Savior for them, meaning the shepherds and Israel and all mankind. In this one passage, there are three titles for Jesus. First, a Savior, and that title meant to make safe, to deliver, to preserve, to make alive, to cause, to escape, to confide in, to hope. And he says he will be the Savior. And then they say, he is the Christ, he's the anointed one. And then he is Lord. He is supreme, eternal being over all. Thirdly, the unthinkable response in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The news must have been shocking, of course. So shocking that they could only respond by saying, "Okay, we have to go." And with that kind of greeting and announcement, how could they stay? As though nothing had happened. How could that be? They had to go. I mean, could you imagine if they had just heard this announcement and one looked at the other and said, "Whoa, dude, that was crazy. Now get back to work." They had no choice after hearing about Christ's birth but to go. Just like Mary that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the shepherds responded out of total obedience. Had they stayed, they would have missed God's invitation altogether. We learned something here in this one verse. When God encounters you, the only way to respond is out of obedience. Sure, we can deny his encounter. We could sweep it away. We can explain it away. But when we know that God has tapped us on the shoulder, and when we know we've experienced the presence of God, the only response is obedience. My oldest daughter is 25 years old, and about a year ago, God tapped her on the shoulder. And he said, "Brianna, I want you to go on the world race. It's 11 months, 11 countries." And so this past fall, she left for that a little over two months ago. And Lori and I get text messages once in a while, and we get to FaceTime once in a while when there's Wi-Fi, and that's kind of the cool thing about technology. But a few weeks ago, we got this picture of Brianna laying on a cot with an IV. And parents, just think about this. And she said, "I'll be fine. I'll talk to you later." Okay. So we got to talk to her. She was fine. She had gotten sick a little bit. But her little group, there's 49 of them, and she's in a group of seven. There's seven girls in this group. And then there's this guy that's going to lead them. So we talked to her last week. She said, "Okay, I'm getting ready to leave on this little side trip, and I won't be able to talk to you for 3 weeks. We're going to walk 32 miles through the Amazon to a village to share Christ." And then we're going to walk 32 miles back out. It'll take us 2 days each way through the Amazon. I'll talk to you in 3 weeks. And Brianna asked the leader, what's the worst thing that could happen? And the leader said to the entire group, gathered the whole group and said to them, you may not come back. She had no choice. When God tapped her on the shoulder a year ago and said, Brianna, I want you to do this, she had no idea what she was getting into. And here she is walking through the Amazon to go share Christ with a little village 32 miles away. It's easy for us to live life without God's presence. Or to be honest with you, to become numb to it. If that's you, can I just say that you're missing out on the relationship that God intended for you to have with Him? His intent was and is for His children to experience His presence daily. The shepherds encountered the living God and they had to go. And then the unprecedented impact, number 4, verse 16 through 18 says this. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now I began this morning talking about the reason for the shepherds' presence at the manger. Why was it necessary to have them there? What was their purpose? I believe we find at least part of the answer right here in this verse. Making the average noteworthy of listening to. Are you average? Are you above average? Below average? Making the average noteworthy of listening to. Those who are normally ignored. Listen to this. Credible to hear. Look at the response in verse 17. When they seen him, they spread the word. Not just about what they had seen, but everything that had been told to them about the Christ child. For some reason, shepherds cannot be heard in a courtroom, but God chose them to be the first witnesses and messengers of the Messiah. They could not be quiet. They had to go and they had to tell everyone. Angels could not fulfill the role that the shepherds did because angels could not understand God's grace. But the shepherds could. Angels live in glory. The shepherds, like us, we live in a sin-infested world experiencing God's grace on a daily basis. I hope that you are. I hope that you're experiencing God's grace on a daily basis. The shepherds, like us, have reason to be messengers of the good news because we have been the recipients of His grace. That's how we identify with the shepherds. How could we possibly keep such a message to ourselves? That was God's thinking. And in verse 18, the people listened to them and they were amazed at what the shepherds said. They listened to them. People didn't associate with shepherds, let alone listen to them. Even if they did listen to them, they probably disregarded as simple-minded people who really had nothing of value to offer through anything that they would possibly say. But not this time. The shepherds talked and people listened. That's a miracle in and of itself. Number 5, the unbelievable change, verse 19 and 20. It says this, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You cannot have a true encounter with God and remain the same. It is impossible. The reason it is impossible is because God has revealed Himself to you in a deeper way. You can never go back to the way you once thought about God. And here's why, because you know too much. You can pretend and live as though the encounter you had with God wasn't real. You can deny God revealing himself to you, but you can never be the same. How do we encounter the living God today? This sounds a little bit funny, maybe, to some, but how do we, okay, so I have this relationship with Christ, and I'm saved, and I get to go to heaven, and been reminded again today that we're supposed to have this encounter with him. We're supposed to experience God in our daily lives. What does that even look like? God encounters his people today through the word. It's probably one of the most primary ways. I was sitting in a chair in our living room about a week ago, and Lori was on the couch. She was doing some work, and she had a coffee cup sitting on the coffee table. And I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe you experience things like this, but I was just a little bit defeated. I don't really know all that what was going on, but I was just a little bit defeated. And I look over and I see this coffee cup, and it was like a child had made it, maybe one of our kids, I don't even know, but there was a scripture that had been scribbled on this coffee mug. And I thought, I'm just going to look up that scripture passage. And it was Zephaniah 3:17. And this is what it says. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I thought, wow, thank you, God. That's what it's like to experience God. And he does it through circumstances in ways that you don't even see sometimes. Through prayer, and you're just praying your guts out. Through the church, through others. You are someone else's encounter. God will use you in somebody else's life because he wants to encounter them. People in this congregation have told me stories about God meeting them on the hospital bed. God answering prayer as they poured out their hearts to God. God breaking through by overwhelming them with peace and joy when they had everything but. God providing freedom from sin that had gripped them for many, many years. Or God accomplishing the impossible in their marriage. Do you know God beyond what you have learned about him up here? Are you engaging with him? Has he revealed himself to you lately? Are you experiencing him daily? Are you sensing his presence in your life? Ask God today to reveal himself to you in a way that you have never known him before. Invite his presence into your life daily. Ask him to show himself to you in such a way that you can never go back. When he does, and he will, your life will be forever changed. I may have filled out a place at Kirkland's or other places in life, like you. The shepherds may have filled out a place at the manger, but the person who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, if that's you, you're never out of place. You're never out of place. Remember from 2 weeks ago, you are highly favored. And you always have a seat at the table. Let me share with you a few to-gos. You have them in your bulletin or they'll be up on the screens, but how does knowing that God invited the shepherds to the manger, how does that, knowing that information and knowing that, be reminded that, how does that give you hope? Or take some time and read more about the three titles, Savior and Christ and Lord. Do some research. Look through Scripture. How are these three titles significant to you? Or maybe go back and read the Christmas story. Read through Luke chapter 2, maybe individually, maybe as a family. And ask God to show you parts of the story that you have missed in the past. It's so easy this time of year to get conditioned We're just going to hear the same thing again we heard last year and the year before and the year before. But I promise you, man, I've been doing this a long time. And as I go back and I'll read Luke chapter 2, I'm like, well, I've never noticed that before. Or God uses it maybe this season, and he didn't use it last season in my life. And the last one, like the shepherds, ask God to powerfully show himself to you this Christmas season. Would you be willing to do that? It's just an invitation. In fact, let me do that now as we close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what we call the Christmas story. And Lord, many of us in this room can relate to the shepherds, just feeling like we're average, and what hope we have in Christ. We've been reminded of that this morning, and that you have given us a voice, and you've given us a message. And it's a message of grace that we've experienced. How can we keep quiet? God, I pray that we as a church would experience your presence in this place, in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships. And Lord, that we would learn as a church that when we wake up tomorrow morning, that maybe we even start the day and we say, God, I want to experience you today. I want to have an encounter with you today. And we're not looking for fuzzy things, but Lord, we're in your word and we're praying. But Lord, that our eyes would be open and our ears would be opened and our hands would be open. Lord, that we would say, reveal yourself to me today in a powerful way. And that we would begin and walk in this relationship, that we would deepen a relationship with you the way that you intended it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.